I'm going to show you a few magic tricks today. But the purpose of it is not for just entertainment value, but to teach you some lessons on how we can be deceived and the way we're deceived, how that happens, okay? I'm looking over the audience here, and I know several of you from Servants Academy, and I'm afraid I've probably shown you most of the tricks I'm going to show you today. So here's what I want you to do. If you see something that you've already seen me perform, don't say something like, "I know how he does that," you know, or "I saw it," you know, something like that, because most likely other people will not see it. And so we don't want to spoil it for them. And of course, we want to make a point with the deception of the hour, okay? There are four passages I noticed years ago in the New Testament that begin with this expression, "Do not be deceived." Now, "do not be deceived" is passive. That means someone else is doing the deceiving, and you're the one that's either believing what you see or believing what you hear to your own demise. And we'll make a couple of points at the very end of the lesson that I think are most important for us to consider, all right? So this is going to be casual. If you have a question, raise your hand, and I'd be glad to try to answer it, okay? Except, how do you do that? Don't ask that. How do you do that? If you're taking notes, there are these four passages are found. The first one's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." That's one of the Apostle Paul's famous lists. And then he writes, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So there's the first one that begins with, "Be not deceived." The second one, same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. "Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals." Do not think that you're the exception, in other words. Do not be deceived, Paul is saying. Evil companions, he doesn't say evil companions might corrupt good morals. He doesn't write evil companions might corrupt good morals if your guard is down. He just says evil companionships corrupt good morals. Now, I have a son who preaches, and my son often has said, if you hang around people who are doing what is evil, it's going to be easier to do what's evil. But if you're hanging around people who are doing what's good, it's easier to do what's good. That's not true just for young people. That's true for adults as well. So hang around people who are doing what is good. Do not be deceived about that. Number three, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You reap what you sow." You know, if you sow corn, what are you going to get?
Corn.
Corn. If you plant watermelon, what are you going to get?
Watermelon.
Carrots. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get watermelon. In the moral realm, the same thing is true. You sow good, you will reap good. You sow evil, you will reap evil. In fact, I believe it was Hosea who said to the children of Israel and of their history, they sowed the wind. Does anyone know what they reaped? The whirlwind. See, you reap not only what you sow. Another rule is you reap more than you sow. If I plant one kernel of corn, I get a stalk with a number of ears on it with a host of kernels of corn. I mean, what sense would it make to plant a kernel of corn to get a big stalk with one kernel of corn on it? That wouldn't make sense, would it? So you not only reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. And listen carefully to what Paul is saying. Do not be deceived about that. That is it's kind of like an absolute rule. You reap what you sow. And then number four is James chapter 1, verse 6. And here he writes, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. I'm going to give you the opportunity to study this on your own. It's hard to know whether he's talking about what precedes it or what follows the statement. Either way, what is he telling us? Regardless of whether he's talking about what he just wrote or what he's writing after that, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived about it. Now, discussion here. I don't have an answer for this, but I'm very curious. Why only these four passages? Why these four statements about be not deceived? Because I'm persuaded there's a lot we could be deceived about. But the emphasis seems to be on these four ways of being deceived. I'm not sure if we're more likely to be deceived in these areas or whether... I'm not sure. But I know there are no unneeded words in the Bible. There are no wasted words in Scripture at all. All right, so now let me ask you this, because unless we define this, it's going to be difficult. We're not going to get anything out of the lesson at all. What does it mean to be deceived? What does it mean to be deceived? Okay, to be tricked. What does it mean to be tricked? What's that? Okay, dupe. Those are other words. The word he was duped or I was duped. Yes. Okay, being used. Yes. Okay, now who said lying? Yeah. What is it to lie? What is it? What does it mean to say that someone is lying? They're not telling you the truth, correct? An old, ancient philosopher one time defined lying by saying, it is to say of what is that it is not. Or of what is not that it is. Think about that. Lying with the intention of misleading someone. If my wife were to call me and say, what is the balance to our checkbook? And I gave her the number X. And I went back and discovered that I forgot to write in a $100 check or something. And so I was mistaken about the balance of the checkbook, but I was not lying because I had no intention to deceive her. I just didn't keep the checkbook very well. So I was mistaken. So lying, if someone is lying to you, they're telling you, they're saying of what is that it is not. Just kind of remember that. That's a simple way to remember what lying is or what is not that it is. So now, what are some of the ways? So let's work on the idea of deceived again. What does it mean to be deceived? We know it will probably involve a lie of some sort. To be deceived. Has anyone ever been deceived? Yes. Okay. Those are all ways that we think about being deceived. Years ago, I invested some money in Apple, the company Apple. And my buddy, preacher buddy up in Oregon, said, hey, I found a place we can invest money in Apple with a guy in Florida. And all we have to do is put in like whatever we want every month. So I was putting $25 a month into Apple. And boy, I tell you, I'd only invested like $500. And it had become worth over $5,000. Not bad. But I needed the money for family things. And so I called the fella and I said, they emailed him. I said, I need the money. He said, Can I get back to you next week? We'll withdraw the money and send it to you right away. I said, that's fine. I never did get the money. No one got the money. Others were trying to get their money as well. We found out because one of the guys that were in the group hired an investigator to find out what this man was doing with our money. He was not investing it in Apple. He was investing it in his bar in Florida. So I was investing in a bar, and I didn't know it. I was deceived and lost over $5,000 by the deception. So does everyone feel like they have an idea on what deception is? Okay, so how can deception come? How can we be deceived? In what ways can a person deceive us? Someone's already mentioned lying, and that's a pretty big way. Someone tells us of what is that it is not.
Telling a half-truth.
Okay, what's a half-truth? Okay, they're not giving you the whole picture. All right, that's good. How else can we be deceived?
Being joined by stuff we want.
Say that again.
Being joined by stuff we call it lust.
Okay, so maybe, are you talking about like being led away by our own lust and enticed, okay? That's right. We can be deceived in that way. What other ways? Oh, let's not go there. All right. It just hurt my feelings. That's true, though. We are deceived. But it is put in the context of an entertainment art. You actually expect, if I said, hey, would you like to see a trick? You would expect to be, to have the wool pulled over your eyes. Who said that? The wool pulled over your eyes. Yeah, to be duped. We expect it, and we, does everyone have fun with that sort of a thing? All right, most of us do. Okay, so if I may suggest, we are deceived by sight, by seeing something and being led to believe something about what we see. All right, that's another way of being deceived. Or we can be deceived by both of those things combined, by, and I'll show you in a few minutes, by showing you something, your sight will be deceived, but so will your hearing. Both of those, you're going to be led astray in those two different ways. That's what magic is. And it's done by means of sleight of hand. You know, sleight of hand. You have to start off slow, you know, with sleight of finger. You have to start with sleight of finger. You know, that's you start small. So, all right. And we can be misled. So we can be misled by what we see and impressions. By impressions we have. Do you remember in the case in the book of Genesis that the brothers of Joseph, sold him off into slavery, and then they took his garment and they soaked it in blood, and all they did was bring it. All they did was take that to their father. And if I remember right, they didn't say anything. But what did the father conclude? He'd been killed by a beast of some sort, yes. Did they say anything?
Well, actually, they did say, is this not your son Joseph's coat?
Yes. Did they say anything about how it got all bloody?
No.
Not a word. They just held it up there, left the impression without saying enough, misleading them. And misleading the father, and they just left him with that false impression. So there are a lot of ways we can be deceived. And this is very, in my estimation, very serious business. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what I've done over the past 50 years, and I'm not saying this to boast at all, because I'm not a professional. I've done this as an amateur and just for fun. You know, I've been doing it for 50 years. I bought my first magic trick when I was at Disneyland. And there was an older gentleman behind the counter in this magic shop. And three young couples, teenagers, came up. And I squeezed into the side there. I was a little bit younger to kind of watch. And he had two little sponge bunny rabbits. And he set them down on the table. And he took one of the bunny rabbits and he put it in his hand. And he took the other bunny rabbit and he put it in the little in the young lady's hand. And then he had a little tiny wand, you know, which does nothing, and tapped both of their hands, and he opened his hand, and the bunny was gone. And he asked her to open her hand, and they were both in her hand. I thought, how in the world? And then he took the bunny rabbits, put them back in her hand, waved his hand over it again. She opened her hand, and there were the two bunny rabbits and five baby ones. I thought, where in the world did those bunnies come from? And, oh, I couldn't wait for them to leave. And when everyone was out of the place, because I was really shy and all, I just said, is that trick for sale? And he said, yes. And I thought, oh, no, there's no way I can afford that. And he said, it's 59 cents. I thought, give me one, you know. So I bought this magic trick. And he knew it was my first experience with close-up, which is I'm going to show you some today, close-up magic. And he told me, he said, when you read the directions, just remember how it looked to you. I cannot tell you, I could not wait to get home. It was late at night. I ripped that package open. I'm not a speed reader either, but I was reading through that thing, and I thought, no way. I was looking for the magic. It wasn't magic at all. It was just sleight of hand. And I thought, who's going to be fooled by that? Oh, I was. And all those teenagers were. And so, man, I practiced that thing for weeks. And because I remembered what the fellow behind the counter said, remember how it looked to you. So I was a very reluctant young man. I asked my dad, so do you want to see a magic trick? He said, sure. He had this smile on his face like, if you can pull something over on me. So I said, okay, we've got two sponge bunny rabbits here. And I took one, you know, and I gave him one. And I said, okay, hippity hoppity. Those were the magic words. Hippity hoppity. And when I opened my hand, my dad's smile went from this to. And I said, open your hand. I knew I had him now. He opened his hand. He could not, he reacted the same way I did. He could not believe what he saw. I thought, you know where magic occurs? Up here. Magic occurs in the mind. When you're feeding people information and you're showing them something, all of those things combined, and people are being deceived and entertained by it. All right, so anyway, I've studied this for like 50 years. I have a huge library of books. I've collected the very best in close-up. There's stage magic like David Copperfield performs, and then there's close-up, which is what I've studied for a long time. I was also a member of, has anyone ever heard of the Magic Castle in Hollywood? You saw it, didn't you? Yeah. The Magic Castle in Hollywood is a world-famous club. I was a member there for quite a while. I got to see some of the finest performers entertain with the art of sleight of hand and with stage magic, and it was a lot of fun for me because some people just are not interested in it, like my wife. You know, the most feared word for my wife is, here, pick a card. She just hates that. Hey, would you like to see a new trick? No, she just is not interested. So anyway, I'm saying that not to boast, but to tell you I do have some experience in this whole idea of deception and why things are deceptive and the different ways that you can deceive. Now, how many of you were at the Servants Academy last year? Okay. Well, again, I may be showing you things that you all have seen before. Whoa. What did I do wrong here?
It's just, you got to find the right hole to make it fit.
Okay. I'm afraid to move it. All right. This is a little trick I've had for years. And can everyone see it? I'm sorry about that. I do close-up. Close-up magic. If you want to move closer, go ahead. And I'll give you some time to move up if you like. Not too close. It's a knife, yeah. It's a knife. Now, the black one I usually wear when I've got something, you know, because I'm color coordinated. And but if I'm wearing something formal, you know, then I'll wear the I'll carry the white one. So the white one is for formal, and the black one is for casual wear like this. It's easy. You just kind of cast a shadow over it, and just changes like that. Now that's the hard part. That's not the hard part. This is the hard part. I'm just kidding. That's the hard part. Any questions? All right. So that's an example of sleight of hand. Have you all heard the expression that the hand is quicker than the eye? It's not true. It's not speed. It's smoothness. It is smooth. Smoothness. Now I'm going to show you how a couple of tricks work, because I think it's important for you to know how they work so that you're not deceived by other things, okay? Now the knife. Anyone have any ideas on how the knife works? Yes?
It's double-sided.
Okay, you can leave. No. Of course it's double-sided. but I know what you mean. It's got a black side and a white side. But when you're performing sleight of hand, here's one of the rules. A larger action covers a smaller action. So if I do this, the same time I do this, this is the bigger action. Notice how the smaller action is covered. And I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not doing it fast. It's just smooth. You see? So when I turn my hand over like this, the white side comes out. All I do is what they call the paddle move again. Smooth, not, the hand is not quicker than the eye. It's just smooth. And a large action covers a small action. That's how that works. I don't know if, I should have brought some different colored rubber bands, but David Copperfield did this one on his magic show years ago. How much time do we have left?
We have 15 minutes.
15? Okay. So can you all see the rubber bands and how they're positioned? This one's, the directions say this one's called the crazy man's handcuffs. Has anyone seen this? You've seen this trick before? Okay, don't say anything. All right, so they say that you put this on a crazy man, and he feels like he's stuck. He's trapped because you can't get through. You can't take it off through the finger or the thumb, but watch. Did you see that? Did you see that over here? Watch. You want to see it closer? Watch. See? You want to help me for a second? Come on up. What's your name? Okay, would you do this with your fingers? Might be good for you to come over here if you would. Okay. So I'm going to put it on your side, and you tell me, is that on your side or my side? Now, if you hold it up like this, you can feel it's locked, right? I can't get it off through that finger, this one, but watch the center. Any questions? What's that? Okay, so that's... Again, the hand is not quicker than the eye. It's sleight of hand. That's how it works. And some actions are being covered by... Smaller actions are being covered by larger actions. All right, let's... Let me show you, because a lot of magic is performed with cards. This is a brand new deck, so it's really slippery. Let's just take the deck, and I'm going to shuffle it a little here. And we can cut it. And you can see that they're all shuffled, right? That's how you shuffle a deck. Well, I've got a new shuffle called a shiffle. I call it shiffle. And I haven't done it in a while. Again, I'm not a professional. I don't do this for a living. So there's a deck of cards. Can everyone see this? No. If you want to see it, just stand up or move forward or whatever. Anyway, I'm going to take half the deck here and turn it over like this, all right? And then I'm going to take some of these and cross them like this. And I'm going to take these and place them here and these and place them here. I'm going to put these over here and these over here and place them on top like this so that we've got a mess. Okay? Do you see that? Some are face up and some are face down. And you can tell by looking here that some are even back to back like this. And if you look further, some of them are even face to face like this. But if you give it a few minutes, we don't have enough time. They all write themselves. You got that one figured out? Ricky J, guess where he learned it? No, I'm just kidding. All right, let me show you one other card trick. Cole, would you help me? All right, just go ahead and select the card. And don't show it to me, but show it to everyone else. Okay, everyone got that? Okay, what I want you to do is put that in right there. All right, now will you remember that card if you see it again? I showed this to my uncles. You can sit down now. I showed this to my uncles, and I said, I'm going to turn my back. I want you to shuffle the cards. So when I turn my back, they cut the deck in half and put half the deck face up and half the deck face down. And all I could hear, of course, was the shuffling. And so they shuffled the cards, half the face up into the half the face down. And so when I turned around, I could tell from even the edges that some of the cards were face up and some of the cards were face down. Can you all see this? Whoever wants to. And I think I just blew this. I could even tell that some of them were back to back like this, just like the other one. So I said, would you do me a favor? I said, I know you've tried to mess me up. I said, would you, if I spread the deck, would you tell me at least if your card is among the face-up cards? And they said, yes. So I spread the deck. Was that yours? Whew. All right. So, all right, let me show you one other, okay? Would someone like to help me with this trick? Okay, you want to come up? All right, here's what I want you to do. You can stay right there. Every bag of... Oh, are you allergic to peanuts or peanut butter? Good, I'm not either. In every bag of M&Ms... I couldn't find a plain bag of M&Ms. There was every kind of M&M under the sun, but just a plain one. I'm like, what is wrong with this store? If you would take that, and in every bag there are six different colors. What I want you to do is take one of each of the colors and line them up right there, okay? You may eat some. You can. This is her pay. One, two, three, four.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, that's a good way to do it. All right, now, just kind of spread them out a little bit and line them up for us. There we go. All right, thank you. Now, I still need you. Don't move. So if you would step aside so they can all see this. This is the setup. We have six different colored M&Ms, all right? Now, don't put too much thought into this. It's not a big deal. But what I want you to do is slide any three of those toward me, okay? And they don't have to be together. Just any three you like. Thank you. Excuse me.
What's the right one?
I love this trick. Someone looked like they thought I wasn't putting those in my mouth. Now, what I want you to do is pick up two, any two, one in each hand. Okay, one in each hand, thank you. And put one in my hand. Thank you. What color's left?
Blue.
Before the show started, the lecture started.
Oh, no. I've seen this.
I wrote a prediction on the back side of this napkin. Would you turn it over and read it? Any questions? How much time do we have? 8 minutes, okay. All right, so now let me throw out two ideas for you, okay? Two ideas for you to consider. And then if there's any time left, if you have any questions about what we've talked about, raise the question, okay? First of all, this is a very powerful point, and when it dawned on me that this was the case, it was really a little frightening to me. God holds us accountable for being deceived. If you allow yourself to be deceived, God will hold you accountable for it. You think back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are told not to protect. They can eat of any tree in the garden with the exception of one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve is, to use the some of the language of the New Testament, Eve was beguiled. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The woman being beguiled. That's another word for deceived, isn't it? Think back to Genesis chapter 3. Did God, when he addressed the problem of Adam and Eve and the serpent, say, "Eve, listen, I understand that you were deceived, so I'm going to let you go on this one." Wow, it seems to me like that's what he should have done. But he didn't. So how do we keep from being deceived by other people? That's right. Evil companions corrupt good morals. That was said in the context of people who were denying the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So stay away from them. But if I may suggest, the number one thing we can do to protect ourselves and those we love is know the truth. Know the truth. Jesus said to the Father, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." So you study Scripture. Let me give you an illustration of how I think that can work. Let's say you go to a show, you know, a magic show, say, and someone does like this. This is what would be considered a mentalist act, a mentalist effect. What impression did this trick leave you with? Well, I don't know everything. It at least leaves you with the impression I knew what was going to be, what the last one would be. Mentalists will often perform effects where it looks like they could read your mind. They can't. Now, you may not know how they do it. You may not know how something is done. But that doesn't mean there are certain things you can't know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, under a very different context, the Apostle Paul says, no one knows the mind of another man except that man. The only reason this was able to work for me today is because I was in control. Now, if someone out there were to say, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, I'm thinking of a number from 1 to 100. What is it? I wouldn't know. And you know why I wouldn't know? It's because no one knows the mind of another man except that man. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I do not know. I knew what color was going to be left because I was in control. But the minute I'm out of control, I don't know. So somehow, some way, control is being exerted. And in this case, what I don't say is probably as important as what I do say. I don't have time to develop that. But the primary thing I want you to know is that you are going to be held accountable for being deceived. You've got to do everything within your power to keep from being deceived, especially or in particular in the realm of Scripture or Christianity. And the only way, the primary way you can keep yourself from being deceived is by surrounding yourself with good companions and knowing the truth. So all the effort your parents are putting toward getting you to Bible study and to worship, it's all helping to foolproof you. Does that make sense? Any questions before we dismiss? I don't think we have much time left. Any questions at all? Yes. It's Manny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you do the road band trick?
Very well.
He said not that.
With a lot of practice. Yeah. You need to learn that? I'll show you. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Listen, it's been a pleasure being in here with you, and I appreciate all your help and your participation. Let's close with a prayer, okay? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for opportunities where we can read your word and consider it and how it applies to us. And we pray, Father, that as we make our way through this world where Satan is a murderer and a liar, and so many seeking to deceive us, to obtain things from us, that you will bless us with knowledge and understanding of how things work, that we'll know the truth, and we will allow it to protect us from the deceptions that are in the world. We pray, Father, that you will bless our parents and grandparents as they strive to help bring us up in the way we should go. And ultimately, each one of our lives will be lived in a way that you are glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.